Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman for today, as we carry on with understanding what's happening in the days that currently are and comparing it with what the Bible says is going to happen in our times. And if you've been a follower of this program, then you know that the Bible and the news are currently almost merged, so to speak. But just to let you know that those who cannot listen to the program at 9 p.m. when it is first aired, there's an arrangement now where it is the same program that was aired at 9 p.m. is aired at midnight. So if you don't listen to it at 9 p.m. now, then you can listen to it at midnight of the same day, the same program that was aired that day. So in other words, if there's something you want clarified that you probably didn't pick now, you just tune in at midnight and they will be relaying the same program on this same station just a few hours later. So that's good news, because for some people aren't home at 9, they are still stuck in jam somewhere and things like that. So if you can be awake between midnight and 1, you need not worry about that. Now, if you've been following these programs, again, maybe before I get into that, just to let you know that I told you the Watchman Conference, we set it for the third week of July, and I'm just so grateful that a number of people have expressed interest, have actually been inquiring about how to sow into the Watchman Conference, and I am praying that you're touched and that you sow into it, because like I told you, I am totally convinced we are doing what the Lord told us to do, so that makes it very, very good ground. And I'm totally convinced that most of you out there are able to have something to say financially in regard to the Watchman Conference, which is going to involve quite a number of things. I'm already looking at videos which I'm going to be showing, and a lot of these things are going to be there for you to peruse through at the conference, and just show you videos that you've not been able to see, things which I've been trying to describe in word, which are probably not that easy to describe, but when you see the video there, then you will understand what we're talking about. And there are quite a number of them, because I am already downloading them, and I'm going to give them some kind of graphics expert who is going to put them together. And before even we get to listening to the word of God at the conference, you'll have been fed on quite a number of videos concerning the end time, short videos concerning the end time that are going to enlighten you on the subjects that is at hand, because our idea is to prepare people for the soon coming of the Lord. And the fact that the Lord is coming soon is becoming clearer and clearer and more definite as the days and the weeks go by. Now, so if you have anything financially to say in regard to the Watchman Conference, or if you want to partner with this the Watchman, because perhaps you've been listening to these messages and you're blessed by them, and if you have, and you can partner, go ahead and do so. If you can, you just send us an email at UgandanWatchman@gmail.com and request, say that you want to partner with the ministry. How can I go about doing that if you are a first-time partner? Now, if you want the recordings, so many people have asked for them, and they are going to be sent probably tomorrow, because they've just been picked, I think, today. So the ones for this month have delayed, but now everybody who has requested for the recordings should expect them perhaps tomorrow. I don't think it will go past tomorrow. And the link that they send you has all the messages previously. Now, if you have somebody who wants to listen to the messages, rather, and probably somebody whom you want to listen to the messages, just forward them that same link. They don't have to request it straight from the Watchman. It's free, and it's free for you to forward to as many people as you want. So many people have been listening to what we are talking about here, and going and are preaching about it in different places, and that's my joy. I actually absolutely love that, because all that matters to me is that people know that we are living in the last days and that they prepare themselves for the coming of the King. That's all that matters as far as I'm concerned. So spread those emails. Spread that email. Send it to as many people as you can, even your relatives in the diaspora, wherever. Just send them so that people understand. Perhaps even more so your relatives in the diaspora, because they are living in a very difficult, you know, it's a lot easier to believe what we believe here in Uganda, because we are surrounded with people who believe like we do. But some of those people are actually surrounded with very hostile environments where, you know, militant secularism, where even just saying that you're a believer qualifies you for persecution. Now, can you imagine? I was reading about a lady who was fired from her place of work because she invited a Muslim to her church, and that is not Pakistan, that is the United Kingdom. And she was accused in the United Kingdom of trying to convert a Muslim. Now, how, since when was it against any law in the United Kingdom for somebody to convert a Muslim? I mean, people have a right to believe what they do, and all of us have a right to propagate our faith. Because if a Muslim tries to come and convert me, he has not broken any law. He's just telling me about what he thinks is the proper way to God. And if I tell him about what I believe, I don't think there's any law. But that is in the UK. But the lady was fired and she had to sue because she was trying, apparently, to convert a Muslim. And she has actually even denied. And what's wrong with trying to convert a Muslim? You're not forcing him into anything. If he doesn't want to convert, he has the liberty not to anyhow. But what I'm telling you is, if you have relatives in there, send it to them, because they live in very hostile environments, if they are Christians. Environments that are very hostile to what they believe in. So, if you want the messages sent to you, just send us an email, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. That is free, absolutely free. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to say anything. Just say, send me the messages, and they will be sent to you at the next sending. Number one. Number two, if you want to, this is separate from the previous one, don't mix them. If you want to partner with the Watchman, or if you want to partner with the conference that is coming up, do send an email as well. If you don't know how to, send an email and we shall tell you how to go about and do that. But we are arranging ourselves, and we believe it is going to be well. So now let's get into the Word of God, now that we've been through that piece of update on what's happening at the Watchman. Now, I've told you this before, that about when we're going through the book of Revelation, I told you that I spoke to you about the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials. We actually went through the book of Revelation from start to finish. Now, if you haven't heard that, ask for the recordings. Go to them about March, April, May last year, and you'll get all the recordings. All the expose of the book of Revelation. And of course, some people would love to think it's not in the Bible, but it is there, and we have to talk about the book of Revelation. Not everybody knows about it, but of course, some people, by the grace of God, have been equipped to speak about it. So, but when we're talking about that, talking about the six trumpets and the six vials, I told you that of the trumpets, we've probably been through about six, or at least five of them. And we've been also through about five or six. Actually, trumpets, we've been through six. We've been through five of the seals in the book of Revelation. Now, we know when the sixth seal sounds, that, or rather, when the seventh seal sounds, that is going to be the Battle of Armageddon. When the, you know, the sun fails and the moon fades and the stars fall from the sky and the earth recedes and so on. The clouds recede like a cloth, the Bible says, and people see the Lord on the throne. And those who have been, those who have not been serving God will have a serious problem, because the Bible says they will run and hide under caves and under rocks and pray that the rocks fall on them and hide them from the wrath of God. Now, that is in the Bible. Now, but there's one seal that we are waiting for here, which is the one trumpet, rather, which is so important, and it's which I'm going to talk about today in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 13. Now, then the sixth, now I've told you we've been through five trumpets, okay? Now, the sixth trumpet, which I'm reading here from Revelation 9:13, says, "And then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, and it said, Release the four angels who are bound at the river Euphrates. So the angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind." Now, this is literal. there is going to be a war, and he goes ahead to say, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. There is going to be a war, and there is going to be a huge war, and the Bible clearly says there is going to be an army of 200 million. Now I will tell you this, that that it's possible now to put together an army of 200 million. When John was saying this, the population of the whole world at the time wasn't even 200 million. That's the population of the entire world. Now, he was talking about an army of 200 million. Imagine how it could have sounded at the time when people are saying an army of 200 million. Even if you gathered all the people on earth, you didn't make that army. But now, I've told you there's 1.6 billion Muslims, and they can comfortably make an army of 200 million. China, the Red China, has an army, if you count the army plus the standing army, of actually about 200 million. So it's possible, a combination of a number of things. Now, this war is going to happen now, I mean, short time from now, because and I'm just looking at the circumstances and the things which are building up to make this war possible. Now, this will be the sixth trumpet. Now, after this trumpet, the seventh trumpet is going to be the rapture. Now, after the sixth trumpet, anything can happen anytime, you understand. Now, this, what is happening in, now the number of the army of the horsemen, I'll read the scripture again. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who were bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth, blue, and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now this is a clear definition of nuclear weapons. Now this war is going to kill a third of mankind. That is literal. There is no way you can translate it to mean anything else. That means on current population, it will probably kill about 2.2 or 2.3 billion people. And the war is coming, and it is brewing, and I'm going to show you how it is brewing and where it is going to start. Because first of all, we know it's going to involve nuclear weapons, a third of the people are going to die, and we know it's going to involve an army of 200 million people on one side. Now let's look at it this way. The river Euphrates is a river, I've told you before, that runs through four countries, all of which are Islamic countries, slightly Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. Okay, that's the river Euphrates. It just touches one of those, really, ever slightly. But those are the four countries where the Bible says the demons have been bound, and now they are going to be released for this time to start up this war. Now, here is what is happening in the world as of right now. But before I get into describing that and what is the significance of that and explaining that scripture to you so well in terms of contemporary what is happening in the world, I will just go and read a few things here. Some of these messages that I've been getting on email, and which are of great importance as far as I'm concerned right now, which is why I've chosen to read them to you here. Somebody saying, greetings, he calls me Rabbi. I'm not a rabbi, but anyhow, I think he means teacher. In the mighty name of our Lord, I wanted to take some special time to thank you for the great work that God is using you in these end times. I particularly want to thank you for your prayers for my brother. A while ago, he seemed to be engrossed in demonic rituals. However, he had a drastic change ever since I gave in his name for prayer to you, and now he's even proving to be more spiritual in Christ than me. How wonderful is that? Thank you very much, and glory to the Lord. And he says, he's believing God for a big seed to sow into the Watchman Conference, because I know it is a very, very fertile ground, and I stand in agreement with you that my seed will improved whatever amount he has in mind, which I'm not going to mention. Then he says he has another request to get friends that have the same convictions that he does, and that he may increase in the knowledge of God, as the Bible says. You know, I told you that prayer which is in Ephesians chapter 1, where it says, I pray that you increase in the knowledge of God. Shalom, that's from a gentleman called Andrew. Andrew, it's nice to know that your brother, who was engrossed in demonic rituals, is now spiritual in Christ and serving the Lord. Praise God for that. And then somebody here who has a dream which I think is extremely important for this time, and it is in regard to the Pope, actually. And this gentleman, because he put this I'll keep out his surname, and I'll just say it's called Peter, and names, and says, perhaps I don't know how to start my brother, but in simplicity, this is his dream. It was Monday, 31st of March, in the morning when he had this dream. He said, the Lord led me in the spirit to a certain place in some apartment, and I was doing some stuff on the laptop. When I was done, I went into another room, only to find people gathered as if for prayers. Okay. The room was filled, and I also sat somehow in the middle places, in that room where people had gathered for prayers. Then he said, I tried to look and see what was going on at the front, but it was in vain, because people were obstructing, he means, the pastor, and the pastor is in quotes, because he thought he was one. After a little while, the main man in prayers went into the other room where I was, for reasons I can't tell. When he was going, I looked at him for about 10 seconds, and to my surprise, it was Pope Francis. He was wearing funny sneakers, light blue in color, and an old trouser and a t-shirt. So he went into the other room, but I withdrew my eyes when he looked at me intently to prevent any questions from him. Although I believe you actually looked away from him for other reasons, but I'll go ahead with the dream, then I'll explain what I believe it means. When he came back, he started dancing from the door, and all the others followed him in the act of dancing. They lifted up their hands, all of them, in the dancing, but their dancing was like that of nightclubs. For even one woman who was near me started dancing, rubbing her bums onto mine, and I had to push her away from me. Then he says, I wondered about the kind of praise, and I was uncomfortable, so I planned to leave the place. Now, during that time when he was planning to leave the place, the Pope vanished, and I didn't see him again. Neither were those who were dancing. As I went to the back to leave, I met you. He says he met me, actually. And then he says, I hope you understand that people can meet. Of course, it happens in dreams. So he says, and we went together, and I wanted to tell you something which I can't remember, but you intervened and you told me a story. Then on our way, a car came from the back and gave us a light as we went. Then at that point, I woke up. Now he goes ahead to say, immediately I prayed to our Father not to let the Pope come into the country. And I believe now some of you have been taking all these things about the Pope lightly. Now today again, we are going to take 30 minutes after listening to this program at 10, and we are, all of us, those who believe in what we are doing here, and all regular listeners of Watchman who understand what we are doing, we are going to take time to make sure that this man doesn't come. Now, you see, in this dream, this gentleman says he was somewhere on his laptop, which actually means he was busy, you know, being a busybody, doing some stuff. I'm just telling you the dream interpretation. He was basically busy on his stuff, and across the other side, there are people who are worshipping, and there was this strange pastor who turned out to be the Pope. Now, that means that while we are busy doing other things and carrying on, these people are coming, and it's not going to be an easy thing. We've seen some of the things that are going to happen when he comes, and it's not easy. Don't think we are just wasting time asking people to pray for him not to come to Uganda. We know what we are doing. Of course, there are some people who don't understand, and leave them. Don't worry about those who don't understand. Just if you think you understand and if you believe in what we are doing here, then just pray for it, because you will have a reward for praying for it, and it will help to save the faith of so many people, which will be toppled when he comes. Now here you see people start out praising, and then this guy comes, okay? They start out praising and they think it's okay, it is fine, and at the beginning it's not, there's nothing wrong. Then he goes and comes back, and suddenly people are praising in a way of nightclubs and, you know, bumping and what, stuff like that. So he turns from Christian to something totally different. Now this is precisely what is going to happen, and this is precisely what I saw. Thank you, Peter, for this sending me this dream, because this is what we saw was going. The faith of so many people is going to be toppled because of him. Now this is a deeply spiritual person. I saw him the other day on TV holding dry blood like this, and within a short while it became wet. It was something which was actually simply miraculous, and then he started making fun of it. You can watch that thing on YouTube. It's there, and of course the media jumped on it. The Pope made a miracle and what, but you know we are heading there, because the Bible says that is going to happen. Okay, that is going to happen, and I'm telling you what the Bible says. So the whole point is this: do not take lightly when I tell you that we should pray that Pope Francis does not come to Uganda. We are the light of the world, and we belong to this. I mean, this country is ours. If we decide that he doesn't come collectively, he will not come. Okay, but we have to do it collectively. If you don't understand what we are doing, and you don't, and you believe it's good for us to come, tourism, I've had all sorts of reasons, but of course they are carnal. People are thinking. Now, for me, I know what is going to happen in the spirit when he does come. Now, if you believe in what you are doing, take time after this program and actually pray that he does not come, and pray honestly for 30 minutes that he does not come. Pray in the name of Jesus that we forbid the Pope from coming to our country, because we don't want him here, because we have seen what his visit is going to lead into. And this gentleman, and now I thank God that some people are beginning to see it in dreams and visions, and so are actually strengthening what we've been talking about here. Now I'm going to read some other dreams, two dreams here, which I think are of relevance. Okay, some of them just for the sake of, you know, getting feedback from our people. I'm Emmanuel, a student of Chambogo. Of course, I'm deliberately keeping out the second names. A student of Chambogo, and I want to thank you very much for the great and wonderful work you are doing for opening our eyes in the last days. For sure, you are a blessing to our life, because I was going to be misled by the so-called great men in the world. Then he said, now, I would like to request you to help me with more information. Thank you, and God bless you so much. Now, more information. Now, this is the kind of request I get so many times, because I have 1 hour, I can give you as much information as possible. But the point in all of this is that go and do your own research. When I tell you things, I just touch on them briefly. Now, I told you that thing that the Pope did. Go and do your research on it. You have smartphones, you have YouTube, you have what? I mean, go and do your own research on it, and base what we are talking about. I mean, base your faith on knowledge. Base it on some kind of knowledge of what is happening around you, of course, as well as knowledge of the scripture and knowledge of God, the person of God, which is the most important, and then knowledge of scripture, which of course leads to the knowledge of God, and then ultimately knowledge of where you are. The Bible says watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man when he comes in his glory. Luke 21:36. Okay, so you pray and you watch. Now we are going to pray that first of all that the apostate Pope doesn't come to Uganda, then also that, of course, there are going to be people praying the reverse, but we are going to pray because it's in the will of God that he does not come now, but we still have to pray it even if it is in the will of God. Now, so if you want information, Emmanuel, go and search it on your own. You are educated people, you have internet, you have what? You have no excuse for not seeking out information on your own. Okay, people want everything to be spoon-fed to them. Somebody says, tell me more about this, tell me more about this. Now, I have an hour, and I'm not going to spend all of my time telling you more about things. Go and search them out yourself, and I just give you the tidbits, and basically the headlines, and you go and search out the body yourself. Now, somebody else called Sounders sent me also a dream, and this is about the rapture. Now, here is a gentleman who dreamt about how the rapture is going to be, and saw himself raptured in the dream. And he says, I was as if climbing into heaven in some entrance. Now I'm reading, but this entrance was different. It was the entrance where we pass from the rapture, because it was like a portal that was pulling us into glory. Along the path, there were what looked like tablets of gold, but the brilliance of them was as if of bread material, though I looked more though it looked more than just material. So I wanted to pick some and looked for the biggest pieces and picked two. I think then I was as if be serious, and then I continued on. I was climbing. Some of you are, I mean, have this SMS kind of writing. Eh? I don't even know how you pass exams at university, because people write and they can no longer write full words even when they are typing. They want to write, you know, those pidgin SMS words anyhow. So if the reason I say that is because, bear with me if I'm reading, if my reading seems to be a bit wayward. So I was climbing using my feet and hands, and I could see into where I was going. I could see glorified saints seated orderly, just singing praises to God. At this point, I actually realized, or I became conscious of the fact that I was being raptured. Now, first of all, before I got there, there is a few things there. Now, here is somebody who is going into a portal, then he's seeing things which are like gold, and then he's kind of distracted by them. I think you can understand what that kind of means. I'm not going to that, but then he says, eventually tells himself, be serious. Then now he starts climbing and going up, and then he becomes conscious of the fact that he's being raptured. Then he says, then it was as if the urgency of entering heaven took me over, and I hastened to get in. When I got in, it's like the portal became visible no more. So on entering the place, as if the place changed, because the other glorified saints I had seen before, I saw no more. And I was just seeing people that had entered with him. That is like those who had passed into heaven as well, who had been raptured. As soon as I entered, it was as if my heart immediately started sobbing. To know why was he sobbing? At the point I saw there, I started touching their faces and touching them, but sobbing as if I wanted to wail. And he was crying apparently, because, well, not as many people as he thought were going to be raptured were raptured. So he said he barely knew any of the people there. Then I started to recognize some classmates, then a tenant of ours at home, and then others I didn't recall. But apparently even the people who were in ministry with him, according to his dream, were not there. But the point is this, all these things are warnings. It's not meant to scare. I mean, so many people are going to be raptured. So, but I'll go through this dream. Immediately, the whole dream ended at that point, and then I was taken back home in a second, and I saw a female security guard at our porch, seated on some long chair, sleeping. She was actually snoring. Then I heard, and now these dreams are connected. It says, then I heard as if I could see my sisters, who are symbolic in the dream, say to one another and to my brother that go and take away their vehicle. That's the vehicle of the security, because they were sleeping, that they may wake up and find it absent. Then it was taken to the time when it happened, and then my sisters in the window tapped the glass as if trying to wake the guard, and she rose, but as if someone is, and she was looking as confused as somebody who has just woken up. Now, my dear, why do you type an email with all this SMS pigeon stuff? Then the Spirit of the Lord told me, this is the interpretation of the dream. Now, the dream, I believe, is spiritual of God, and the interpretation, I believe, is true. That's why I read it here. I get so many other dreams which I'm not so sure about, so I keep them away from you. So it says here, the interpretation is, it is indeed the last hour. And he says, some people will be left behind. There are those that have been set over people, like that watchman, the security guard. The fact that she was sleeping was symbolic of people who have been set over to watch over people, like some kind of watchmen who are born again, but they are sleeping. And they sleep off and even snore. And then he says, for some reason, he perceived in the dream that the guard had not slept off because she was very tired, but she had slept off because she looked around and said in her heart, I don't see anything wrong happening here. This place looks to be safe, and I don't imagine there's going to be a thief here at any one time. So that kind of moved her to sleep. You know, when you're guarding a place and you don't have this sense of imminent danger, you say, ah, it seems to be safe. So that's why she had slept. So that's the whole dream, and that's what he believes is the interpretation. Now, I just had to go through these dreams for a number of reasons. This one, I want you to understand that we are actually living in the last days. now, thankfully, people are beginning to dream dreams of the rapture. People are beginning to dream about what's going to happen during the end times. I told you last time, even a sister of mine dreamt something which was precisely what is in Revelation chapter 6. And when she told me the dream, and she didn't know the interpretation, I just told her, read this scripture. And it seemed to be very similar to what is happening in the end times. So, my brother and my sister, just know that we are living in the end times. And God is warning people increasingly and increasing. And these warnings are going to increase as we draw closer and closer. Now, let's get to the word of God. This I read for you the scripture from Revelation chapter 9. Talking about the river Euphrates war. Now, here is what is happening currently in the world. Number one, there is a big split between Shia and Sunni Muslims, which is developing really, really, really fast, between Shia and Sunni Muslims. And the Sunnis are all led, are all under some kind of coalition by Saudi Arabia, and the Shias are all under some kind of coalition by Iran. Now, there's a cold war in the Middle East. Now, this is how the River Euphrates war is developing and how there's going to be such a big army. Now, when the rebels who are loyal to Iran, who are sponsored by Iran, called the Houthi rebels, who are all over the news now, Houthi rebels attacked Yemen and deposed the president and caused chaos there, and everybody knows they are Shia, sponsored by Iran. When that happened, Saudi Arabia mobilized countries and started bombing those rebels, because that means that Iran is taking up a lot of territory, because there has always been a cold war between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Only none of them will admit to it, but now people are admitting to it clearly. Now that means they are taking up a lot of territory, coming close to because Yemen is just next door to Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia has kind of ignored what Iran is doing, because Iran has made a lot of inroads into every place, starting with the Hezbollah, who are in total control almost of Lebanon. Then they are in charge of Hamas, who are in control of Gaza. Then they are in charge of those Houthi rebels, who are in control of Yemen. Then now they also into Syria. And they are the ones who have been, whatever, the Assad government. Now, then they're into Syria, they're into Iraq, they're into Yemen, they're into Lebanon, they're into Gaza. Now, all that is Iran. And Iran is slowly spreading its tentacles and wants to take control over the Islamic world. Now, of course, these people don't mix at all, because Iran is mainly, and all their clerics are mainly Shia. And they are trying to spread this Shia thing across, but Saudi Arabia and so many of the other, Bahrain and what, Kuwait and what, are all Sunni Muslims, majority. So now, what is happening is those Arab leaders who are under a coalition of Saudi Arabia have decided to agreed in principle about a week or so ago that they are going to form a joint Arabic force. And they have gathered as many as 10 countries under Egypt, with Egypt, Saudi Arabia, all the city states, Bahrain, Dubai, and all those Muslims are gathering. Most of them Sunni are gathering to form a big coalition of a force. Now, why are they doing that? Because they have noticed that Iran has become very powerful, and now they have even been made more powerful by America through this deal. Now, that's why it was so important for Iran to get this deal in America, because now they lift the sanctions, Iran gets more money, and now it can sponsor all the insurgencies in all places as they continue to have an imprint across all the Islamic world. Of course, it was also important for America to lift the sanctions on Iran, because it means now Iranian oil joins into the market and makes oil prices go even lower, as an America uses the low oil prices to fight Russia, who is now being considered as a more powerful enemy. But in all of this, it's basically trying to balance a balancing act for America. Because first of all, I don't think Obama's foreign policy in the Middle East has been effective. It has been terrible, because Saudi Arabia is America's biggest ally in the Middle East. They give them $1 billion every month in exchange for their oil and just generally their security. Kuwait is the other big ally of America. That's why when Saddam Hussein attacked them, America had to go and fight, because those are the places from which America has been getting much of their oil. Now Kuwait and Saudi Arabia can no longer trust America to fulfill their interest. As Obama is talking to Iran, who is an enemy, Iran, which is an enemy of both Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, America's biggest allies, they feel they can no longer trust America now. So they say, what are we going to do? We are going to start our own armed force to take on the Iranians. But the reality is that the Arab League, even if they have 22 member Arabs, 22 member states, it's not going to be any match for Iran, because Iran has been planning this for a very, very long time. And actually, after Saddam Hussein was deposed, who was their only threat, Iran has been spreading themselves slowly by slowly, taking over Lebanon, taking over Gaza, and taking over, and people that's why Netanyahu was making noise about the Iranian deal, because he knows Iran are the ones who control Gaza, who are next door to Israel, and he know that's why the Israel siege that Gaza place, because they want to make sure no weapons come there, because if they opened up those borders like people say they should, there would be no more Israel. So they have to do that for their security, because they will send in weapons into that place, and all the Muslim countries want to send weapons and arm Gaza, the people in Gaza, to destroy Israel. All of them are trying to do that. You remember the other time when there was a Turkish ship which was crossing, claiming to have food for the people in Gaza. When the Israeli soldier commandos jumped into the ship, they found weapons, and the whole international community, castigated Israel for what? But there were weapons in there, and Israel says, "You go ahead and castigate. For us, we know that if these people take these weapons to Gaza, Hamas is going to use them to start bombing Israel, and that's what's going to happen." Anyway, in Washington, Saudi Arabia's ambassador to the United Nations was pushed into a position, and he was trying to deny that the airstrikes in Yemen amount to some kind of proxy war against Iran, which has already expanded its influence in Iraq, in Syria, and in Lebanon, and of course in Gaza. Nobody is saying who is going to be in charge of the joint force, which is going to be put together by the 22 Arab states. But what they say is they are going to fight the rebels in Libya, in Yemen, in Iraq, and in Syria. That those are the ones who currently top their list. So with Sunni countries and all the groups, Sunni groups allying with South Africa, and the Shia countries and groups allying with Iran, it seems the battle lines have been drawn for the River Euphrates war. And now you're going to see it happening not far from now. Now the complex tribal and political divisions in these countries add to the existing chaos. And one regional newspaper called it the United Arab Force, called it a triple oxymoron. Now, not going to the details of explaining what that means English-wise, but according to Abdullah Al-Assar, a former deputy foreign minister and ambassador in Egypt, those divisions could make it impossible for the Arab world to form any military. And he says, since when were the Arabs united on anything? If they are united at one moment, tell me, he said. But the thing is, now they are being united, but in division. The Sunnis are being united under Saudi Arabia, and the Shias are being united under Iran. And those two countries are emerging as clear leaders of both of those factions of Islam. But he goes on to say, and if they unite enough to form a military, conflicting alliances would escalate the fighting. That's precisely what is going to happen. Then he says, what are they going to do with the force, with the force to fight Iran? He goes and says they will smash them, because Iran is very strong militarily. Now that's the point. Even if there are 22 Arab states forming a joint force, they cannot manage Iran, because Iran has been planning for this for a long, long, long time. But political analyst, a gentleman called Hisham Kasim, says that the international forces are desperately needed to counter the threat of so-called Islamic State militant group, and the United States, NATO, and the United Nations are increasingly disinterested in direct intervention in the Middle East. That is true. Now, these people have realized that America no longer has the resources or even the interest in going to intervene in all Middle East wars. and neither does NATO, neither does the United Nations. So as a result, he says, the Arab world has no choice but to act. And he says, and I quote, it's not an option. A force has to be created with some minimal support from the United States and Europe, he said. I don't know if United States and Europe will support them, but he goes ahead to say, nobody at this point who is directly threatened can afford to say, none of my business, or I don't want my people killed. Anyhow, here is the whole point. Iran now is going to make nuclear powers thanks to Barack Obama and his deal with them. They are getting the money. They are not going to keep their end of the bargain. It is that simple. They have never kept their end of the bargain. They let the so-called UN inspectors come and walk in, but they only show them what they want to show them. And then they leave the rest up. Iran, they can't be trusted. And recently, one of their top clerics, one of their ayatollahs, the top cleric said that total destruction and annihilation of Israel is non-negotiable. Now, of course, people say that the peace talks and what, I know they talk about peace talks, but you can't talk with people who say that your total destruction is non-negotiable. So they are not going to, when they are using peace talks, they use peace talks to gain more ground, and they use that ground to continue fighting Israel. So it's going to be a catch-22. Now, what's going to happen is when Israel has, and I told you this at the beginning of the year, when Israel has been isolated, because the whole international community is going to go up against Israel, and everybody is going to side with the Arabs, even if it is so clear that the Arabs don't want peace, they want to destroy Israel. And even if they destroyed Israel, they would continue fighting, because that is in their nature. Okay, you listen to what was said about whatever in the Bible, that's in their nature, because people think that Israel is the problem, so take away Israel and there is peace in the Middle East. It's not going to be there. It is not going to be there, because so is ISIL fighting is it fighting Israel? No, they aren't. I mean, Arabs are going to fight reasons to fight one way or the other. They are going to find reasons to fight. That's somehow, for some reason, they're always fighting. I don't know why, but they're always fighting. With or without Israel, they will fight. Now, Israel, on its part, has to protect itself. Now, the reason Israel has become now very cautious about a two-state solution involving a Palestinian state, something to which they had initially agreed, is because any state of Palestine is going to be controlled by Hamas, and Hamas is a terrorist organization which says in its charter that its purpose is to destroy all Jews in the world, not just Jews in the Middle East, but Jews all over, wherever they are in the world. And now those are the people whom Obama wants Israel to negotiate with. How can you negotiate with somebody who is telling you that his purpose, and who has written it in his charter, which is all over the internet, you can even go and read it, who has written in his charter that his purpose is to destroy all Jews? Now, how do you negotiate with somebody like that? Unless, of course, but you know, they are going to put on suits and come and tell people to negotiate. These people don't want peace. They don't want to coexist. They don't want to live in peace, because their interest is in Kabul. And there will always be people who are like that. Now, take an example of what happened in Tunisia. Tunisia is a country which, after the Arab Spring, everything turned out okay. The former president, Ben Ali, he's overthrown, he stays there, the elections, they elect a president, the country seems to be on the path to prosperity. One of their biggest income generating activities is tourism, because of their proximity to Europe and to all those other places. So many people come to Tunisia to see a lot of the, Middle East, or rather Arabic stuff, and what a lot of, especially French speaking tourists, flock that place in great numbers, and they bring a lot of prosperity to Tunisia. So everybody was happy, nobody had any quarrels, and it was time for prosperity. But you see, as long as you have some of these people, they will never let it happen. Now, the other day, at the peak of all that, when Tunisia is rebuilding after the Arab Spring, some assailants get guns and shoot down 24 foreign tourists who are going through a museum. And now that completely turns all the progress that has been made upside down, because now those people will come kill people. Even if you kill them, by the way, it doesn't change anything, because the tourism industry, which has been booming, is suddenly going to suffer, because nobody is going to come to that place anytime soon after people just showed up from nowhere and started shooting people going through a museum. So now these people, what should I say, eat from Kavuyo. They don't want to see any peace around. And those are people, you know, Israel is told to negotiate with. They don't want negotiations. They don't want peace. Even when they are, I mean, so what is ISIL doing? Or ISIS, or whatever you call it, Islamic State. I mean, are they fighting Jews? Are Jews in Iraq? No, they aren't. They are somehow, this is their thing, and this is how they... And it's been built on a lot of, you know, insurgency and counter-insurgency. So, the reality is now the trouble is that these wars have been small-scale. Now, let me build up to what the scripture says. These wars have been small-scale because it was just a few disgruntled people, disenfranchised groups that were fighting to get some kind of cut, you know, slice of the pie, so to speak. So they fight, take a territory, take some oil well, get the oil and sell it abroad, get some money and make some guy rich, the same way it is in Somalia. But now it is turning away from that small, you know, factions to two big factions, like I've told you. One Shia faction, led and controlled and armed and financed by Iran, and another Shia faction, which is led by, especially led in terms of ideology, by Saudi Arabia, but which is, I think, mostly going to be pushed militarily and all by Egypt, because Egypt are the ones who have the military capabilities to do some of those things. They are the ones who are mostly involved in that coalition of Saudi Arabia bombing the Houthi rebels in Yemen. Now, this is complex Middle East stuff, and you might be asking yourself, what's the purpose of all this talk? The purpose, in line of the Watchman and what we are teaching here today, is to tell you that the war, the River Euphrates war, is now shaping up perfectly well. Any one of these factions can produce an army of 200 million people, okay? Because the Islamic population altogether is about 1.6, 1.7 billion people. Now, but we know that the war is not just going to stop there. So even if the whole Islamic world got involved, we know the war is going to have to involve somebody else. So who are those other people who are going to involve themselves in that war? And we know, we read from the scripture, that it's going to involve nuclear weapons, because of the way the Bible describes it. Fire, smoke and brimstone, and nuclear heads and what. So, not that the Bible says nuclear heads, of course, but the way it describes it is nuclear heads. Now, elsewhere it talks about flesh melting off the bones of people. Now, that's only nuclear stuff. And now Israel has nuclear weapons. Iran is going to develop them in the next few years, thanks to Barack Obama and their deal, and between America and Israel, which was signed recently and celebrated widely all across Iran. Now, what this means is that one other power is going to join in. Now, if Israel, of course, what happens is when these two people go to fight, the Shia and the Sunni, it's going to have to involve Israel, because there is no way they are going to fight and somehow Israel is spared their battle. So it's going to involve Israel. Now, when it involves Israel, a few things might happen. First and foremost, some countries might come to the defense of Israel, particularly America, but maybe not, because now the relationship between America and Israel has reached a record low under the presidency of Barack Obama. But what I know, some countries are going to join in against Israel as well, and they will include China. That's why the Bible says China and Russia. Now, red is the color of communism. Officially, red is the color of communism. That's why it says here that now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I had the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red. Now, fiery red and hyacinth blue actually sounds so much like the Russian flag, but we know that two communist countries, or at least former communist countries, if you consider Russia to be former communist, are going to be involved. So I believe Russia, and now that's the Gog and Magog war. Now, I believe, spoken about in Revelation 37, or rather in Ezekiel 37 and 38. Now, I believe Russia and China are going to join in, and it is going to be a massive war. The Bible says there will be 7 months just burying the dead. Now, after that happens, it will be some kind of third world war. I don't know if it will be called that, but when it happens and when it kills 2.2 billion people, think about that, 2.2 billion people. The First World War was so big, people thought it was never going to happen again. How could we let this happen? And yeah, in 1914 and 1918, and when they counted the casualties, I mean, they were beaten. How did we ever let this happen? 8 million people dead. No war in history before had ever killed even 1 million people. Now the First World War comes along and 8 million people are dead. So they said this is not going to happen again. So they formed the League of Nations to keep countries together and make sure that there is some kind of negotiating table at which countries are going to sort their differences so as to avoid war. What happens? Very soon later, the Nazi Party takes over in Germany. Adolf Hitler comes and begins on his quest to overtake Europe and overtake the world. And the Second World War comes. And the 8 million of the First World War looks like a Sunday school picnic in comparison, because at the end of the Second World War, when the casualties had been counted, there was 52 million of them. And the world says, never again. It's not going to happen again. So now they form the United Nations and somehow supposed to reign over countries and make sure that there's some kind of international law, and countries can go and sit and negotiate and sort their differences without necessarily going to the battlefield. Same reasoning as what happened after 1918, after the First World War. Only, unfortunately, it is going to happen again, and this time it's not going to be 8 million for the First World War or 52 million of the Second World War. It is going to be 2 billion people who are going to die, and it is going to happen again because the Bible says it is. And I've just read for you the scripture, and there are so many others which I could add in here to describe. So now, when this happens, that will be the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet. Now, in this, any time around there, the rapture occurs. Okay, there are some people who believe the rapture happens at the seventh trumpet. So they believe if this happens, this war happens, and those people are killed, then the rapture can happen any time after that. But then there are those who believe it can happen before. Those who believe that the last trumpet spoken about in 1 Corinthians 15 is not necessarily the seventh trumpet spoken about in Revelation. Now that is very few people agree on either one of the two, those who agree on the one don't agree with the second. But one way or the other, we know that this is going to happen real soon, and now the Lord has begun warning people in all sorts of ways. And I just read for you some dreams here, and the truth is, there have been so many people having dreams about the rapture, what is going to happen, what it is going to look like, and the dreams almost mirror what is in the Bible. And why is this coming? Because we have to warn as many people as possible and tell them that get ready, because the time of the end is coming. Don't get drawn into all the things which draw other people and take them away from the service of God. If you can preach the gospel, if you can minister to somebody, go ahead and do it. Create an impact. Don't waste time. If you're a man of God, don't waste time fighting other men of God. You are fighting the wrong war. I mean, you are wasting time when there is very little time. Okay? Now, I know people come up and I've had, of course, critiques. People jump up and say, I'm scaring people with end time stuff and what. I don't have any moment to listen to them, because I'm doing what God called me to do, and I just want everybody to do what God called them to do. I have no time to answer any critique. I don't answer them at all. I sometimes don't listen to them. Many times I actually don't, but people tell me. I don't even know why they tell me. But the point is, even if you tell me, it doesn't affect me at all, because I know what I am doing. And I know that there are so many people who are going to be ready for that day because of the work that God is doing through me, the grace that God has given me and has been preparing me for so many years for such a time as this. So just a reminder before you get out of here, a number of things. First of all, I would like for you to consider prayerfully partnering with the Watchman Conference, and I thank people who have begun, giving in whatever they can. But let this be a bigger seed than usual, because we actually I believe, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, the Bible says, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So try to reap bountifully in this. But also, if you have people whom you know who would be blessed by these messages and you receive them by email, send it to them. And they will, it's free of charge. You don't have to, or you can ask them to write to the UgandanWatchman@gmail.com, and the email is UgandanWatchman@gmail.com, and get themselves the recordings, or you can send them your own recordings if you are one of the people on the list. And finally, before I leave, I have to talk about, I just have to remind you that make sure that you take 30 minutes as of now. As soon as this program ends, we are taking 30 minutes and we are going to pray that the Pope does not come to Uganda. Now, many people have understood why we are doing this. Some people have not. If you haven't, it's okay. You don't have to pray. We just need two or three, the Bible says. And the word is established. But as many people as understand why we are doing this, because it is going to mess up, it's going to overthrow the faith of many. And I'm telling you this is somebody who is, we're talking about a powerful person in the spiritual realm, okay? But not in the right spiritual realm. I'm talking about a powerful person. So now, take time, jointly, the whole of us, don't take this lightly, and pray that Pope Francis does not come to Uganda. Let him find other countries to go to, where is it? But for us as Ugandans, we are going to pray that he doesn't come. Now, from 10 to 10:30, I request whatever you're doing, pray about it, pray in tongues if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and let's make sure that this doesn't happen. And there is, we'll be doing this according to the will of God, because I'm thankful that some people have also started seeing exactly what is going to happen to so many people. Here, this gentleman is in a room, people are praising well, then this guy comes, then people start, dancing as if they're in a nightclub. And that is precisely what I know would happen if he came here. But now we are believing God that he is not going to come, in Jesus' name. So, just join me in this prayer, and I thank you so much for joining me in the Watchman. And we are going to have a partners meeting probably in about 3 weeks. Everybody who is a partner, who has sent us money, who has done what, everybody, and we'll have a meeting of all partners, well wishers and what. And I'll keep on, and I'll just prepare for this when it's going to happen. We want to have it, and just to talk to you about the conference and how you can help us in all sorts of ways, even if not financially, because the financials, we believe God is going to provide. Now, do that also. So we'll let you know when that happens. And don't forget that this same program is going to be repeated at midnight. Every program of The Watchman will be running from 9 to 10 p.m. on Wednesday, and then from midnight to 1 of the same night. But that might be the next day, of course. But the same night, 3 hours later, from midnight to 1, the program will be running afresh. So if anybody hasn't heard it and you think they should hear it, just tell them that they can wait from midnight to 1. Good evening. Thank you so much for joining The Watchman. Have yourselves a beautiful evening. Now, the prayer that the Pope doesn't come starts now.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Is he alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on.